If you have your Bible with you, would you please open your Bible with me on the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 12 to 28. Mark, chapter 1, verses 12 to 28. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers of men. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further, thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do not obey him, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were gone out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, and with James and John. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, will you please open our minds and our hearts as we meditate upon thy word. May thy Holy Spirit anoint us, that we might draw the wonderful truths out of thy law. And grant us the grace, O Lord, to obey them, starting tonight and the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. This passage that we just read includes the calling of the disciples and a remarkable incident at Capernaum. But for purposes tonight, let us concentrate on just one verse and notice three great possessions which are now yours as a Christian. First, in verse 17, you will find a person to follow. Let us look back at verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. In verse 17, you will find a person to follow, which command them, Come ye after me. Jesus found Simon, later called Peter, and his brother Andrew by the lakeside, and commanded them, Come, follow me. Immediately they turned their backs on everything else and follow him, and were never the same again. Now that he has called you to himself, be determined to follow Jesus and to make him your pattern, your standard, and your guide in every detail of our lives. That is the first possession that we should find, which is our Lord Jesus himself calling us to come after me and follow him. The second thing to notice is that the verse also speaks of a power to passion or to make. We can see in our Lord Jesus' statement, Jesus went on, and I'll make you. I'll make you fishers of men. What power Jesus has is the power to create. In John 1:3, and the power to cure in Matthew 8, verse 3, and the power to control in Luke 8:24, when the disciples were with our Lord Jesus in that boat, and there was a sudden storm that occurred. And on this occasion, they were all panicking, and they asked the Lord Jesus that he should do something about it, that their life, their situation are now life-threatening because of the strong wind. And of course, as we can see, the Lord commanded the strong wind and the raging water ceased, and everything became calm. That's the power of control over nature. But above all, power to change men's lives. And you can see all these disciples, the first four disciples, were made to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and making them fishers of men. Jesus, because Jesus now lives within you by his Holy Spirit, this power is now yours and is sufficient to deal with all your problems. The Bible says, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. That is in Philippians 2:13. Let me elaborate a bit about this particular verse. If you go back to Philippians 2:13, we can see that this verse, that God is working in every one of us. Look what it says. For it is God who works within you, both to will and to do on his good pleasure. Although the believer is responsible to work, in verse 12, it says that Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now in much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Lord actually produces the good works and the spiritual fruits in the believers, in the lives of believers. This is accomplished because He works through us by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And these spiritual fruits in our lives cannot be brought about on our own power, but only the Lord Jesus through His indwelling Holy Spirit. If we will look at John 15:5, we are reminded of His truth. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, it is very important to realize that we are reminded to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but without that verse 13, we cannot work out with fear and trembling regarding our salvation, because verse 13 is linked with verse 12. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. So what is that praise, to will and to work out, mean? It means that God energizes both the believer's desires and his actions. The Greek word for will indicates that he is not focusing on mere desires or whimsical emotions, but on the study's intent to fulfill a planned purpose. God's power makes His church willing to live godly lives. This is demonstrated and narrated to us in Psalm 110 verse 3. It says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. And that is the indwelling Holy Spirit, which is God's power in making His church willing to live a godly lives. And further on, in that same verse in Philippians 2:13, that praise, good pleasure, it means God wants Christians to do what satisfies Him. In Ephesians 1:5, that elaborates a little bit further. Ephesians 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And then verse 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself. In fact, all of the effort of verse 12 in Philippians 2, chapter 2, that effort of work out your salvation with fear and trembling, if you are looking at Philippians chapter 2, all the efforts of verse 12 would be useless if it were not for verse 13. Remember what verse 12 says. So then, my brethren, or my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That working out would be impossible if it were not for the fact that verse 13 says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work out his good pleasure. And the wondrous balance of spiritual life and spiritual growth and sanctification is that the Christian is working out while God is working in. Not on the good effort per se of the Christian, but he's enabled to work by the Holy Spirit to work out with fear and trembling. Work out his salvation with fear and trembling while God is working inside him to will his will, to follow him in a life of holiness and righteousness. That is the perfect balance. It takes all of me, our new nature in Christ, and our his will for our lives in us, as we have sinned, but it demands all of him, all his commands, and all his working and outpouring of his mighty spirit in us. And all of us alone would accomplish absolutely nothing without the outworking and indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. But how wonderful that our God worked in us to accomplish his own good pleasure, to effect that which he demands. That's the glory of Christian living, that God calls us to obey and that God effects that obedience in us. God calls us to holiness and then even effects that holiness in us. God calls us to serve and then mobilizes that service in us by his own power and presence. Your spiritual growth and your spiritual progress towards maturity and your sanctification and your moving towards Christ's likeness demands all that you are, and it also demands all that God is in you. There is a encouraging quote about this in the book Heavenly Spring by Andrew Bonar. In his diary on December 6, 1874, he said, the anniversary of my coming to Glasgow. I have now completed 18 years in the city, and I was exactly 18 years in the country. Who can tell what more remains? Christ is more than ever precious to me in his atonement, righteousness, merit, and heart. Nothing else satisfies me. I only yearn to know him better and preach him more fully. His cross and his crown never lost their attractiveness. Day by day is my rest and my heaven. And for us, that must be a great encouragement, for it is God who causes us to will his will, to follow him and to live for him and to serve him. And the last bit of the great possessions that we have, and we just mentioned the first two. Now the third one, notice at the end of the verse in Philippians 2:13, there is a purpose to fulfill. I should say not Philippians 2:13, but Mark chapter 1 verse 17. I'll read it to you again. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. The first is that there is the one who call and to follow, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the second one is power to transform us, to make us according to his ability, to his plan and purpose, in calling each one of us in service. And the third one is that the end of this verse, he called us not only to be believers in him, but to specifically call us to become fishers of men. I will make you to become fishers of men. Well, fishers of men, it is a marvelous thing to know that God has a pattern and a purpose for your life. And you can be sure that you will gradually see it working out as you follow him. Whatever that purpose may be, there is no doubt that includes being a fishers of men. Do you not be ashamed of do not be ashamed of your Savior, but begin now to pray that he will use you to draw others to him. See that you commend the Lord Jesus to others, not only by what you say, but by how you live. This is how we are commanded and encouraged to do that. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, which put the matters correctly in commending others, commending the Lord Jesus to other people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And it says, Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It is one thing to be saved, and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the forgiveness of our sin, but it's another thing to respond in calling each one of us to be fishers of men, and that is to serve him and to be a faithful witness. In conclusion, Hebrews 12:2 says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is speaking about our Lord Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and is also a model for us in serving him, despising the shame of following him and living for him. Because this world is all set against us, and the world, through its various offers on the offers of all the flesh, the things of this world worketh only for the flesh, but the things that are eternal is the new life in Christ and the service he called us to do, to be fishers of men. May that be our portion as we remember that these great three possessions as Christians is that we have a person to follow, our Lord Jesus Christ, to serve him, and that he also possesses the power to change us and to mold us as a pattern molded the clay into a useful vessel into God's kingdom. No matter how broken our lives may be, He has the power to refashion us according to His will and being useful vessel in His kingdom. And then lastly, also, that there is a purpose for us to fulfill and to become a faithful pieces of men. May God bless us and take heed of His holy words. Amen. Lord, thank You for Thy words which You have spoken to us. And I pray, Lord, that You will help us to be granted the grace to be obedient to Your commandments. Help us to know and to practice these great three possessions that we have. That we have a person and a God who called us to follow. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. To serve Him. He has also the power to change us, which is in us, the power of His Holy Spirit, to be the kind of person and servant He wants us to be, and also a purpose to fulfill that calling and to be a faithful servant of Him, to become pieces of men. Amen.